Welcome to the Menopause Conversations podcast. My name's Angela Council, and I am your host for this podcast. And this is where you learn all about menopause, what is happening to your body, to your hormones, and life in general. Everything is changing, and sometimes it can seem really, really confusing. But this is where the confusion stops right now. This podcast will share with you everything you need to know about how you can navigate your menopause transition with ease. So sit back and enjoy the show. Bye for now. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Menopause Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Council, your host for the podcast. And this week I'm having a chat about intermittent fasting, and particularly whether or not it's right for women as they're coming through menopause. Now, the reason why I thought I'd have this discussion on the podcast today is because recently I was asked to be on a panel to discuss whether or not intermittent fasting was good or not. Now, it was just in general, not specifically for women going through menopause. So I thought I would actually address it from the point of view of someone going through menopause, because I know that there is a lot of talk on social media and, you know, out in the world saying that intermittent fasting is the best thing for women in menopause, particularly if they want to lose weight. And so, but is that true? That's what I want to discuss today. So what I'm going to do in this podcast is I'm going to clarify a couple of different definitions first, and then I'm going to talk about the points for intermittent fasting, those against intermittent fasting, and then we'll see whether or not it's the right thing for you or not, and whether or not maybe it's something that you could try. So let's define what this means, intermittent fasting. So it's a way of eating that alternates between periods of fasting and periods of eating. Now, it means it's just cycling. And when we look at intermittent fasting, it has very specific time windows. This is for people who are really, doing this properly. And generally, the fasting periods are longer than the typical overnight fast when we're obviously not eating, and can range from several hours to days. And some people will go, you know, they will do intermittent fasting they'll do 16 hours of fasting, 8 hours of eating, or they might do, they eat one day and they don't eat the next, or they might eat for 3 days and don't eat for 2 days. So there's just this, and it's a cycle. And it's fairly rigid in the way that it works, intermittent fasting. Now, there is something else as well, which is a form of intermittent fasting, but not quite as dogmatic and as strict as what I just described. And this is known as time-restricted eating. And that's restricting your eating to a certain period during the daytime. And you know, you can do a 14-10, which means you for 14 hours you don't eat, but you eat everything in a 10-hour window. Or it can be go back to 16-8, whereby you eat everything in 8 hours and don't eat anything in 16 hours. So time-restricted eating is it's not full days of fasting. It's basically restricting your food to a certain amount. And we do this, you know, naturally when we don't eat overnight. But some people, you know, kind of their time that they're not eating can be relatively short, particularly if they're, you know, doing the midnight snack thing and then waking up and eating an early breakfast. So time-restricted eating is a form of intermittent fasting. So in summary, intermittent fasting is the overarching concept, and time-restricted eating is a specific type that focuses on a daily eating window as opposed to having days where you don't eat at all, where you fast or just do water fasts or just do juice fasts. And this can be quite common. Women are doing this as well. So does it work, and is it good for women that are going through menopause? Well, there are some good things about intermittent fasting. Number one is it can help to regulate the hormones by providing that consistent eating window, which means we're not getting so much of the up and down of different hormones, but not necessarily the reproductive hormones, but other hormones like leptin and ghrelin and cortisol and insulin. So this can, it says that it can actually reduce some of your symptoms because it kind of balances you out when you have this regularity in your eating windows. Weight management. Now, this is obviously where it's spoken about a lot. And yes, definitely it can lead to weight loss. And many women, as they're coming through menopause, one of their biggest complaints is the fact that they're putting on this weight for no apparent reason. Like they haven't changed the way they're eating, they're moving or anything like that. This weight is coming on and it is generally sitting around the waist. And I've done several different podcasts on this. So intermittent fasting can be an effective way of managing that weight. And by limiting the window, sometimes what will happen is you tend to eat a little bit less, even though, you know, you can eat everything that you want within that certain time period. You do tend to eat less because you just don't have enough time to fit it all in, and that can actually help you lose weight. It also does help with insulin sensitivity, and this can be important for some women, particularly those who have insulin resistance. And many women, as they're coming through the menopause transition, do develop insulin resistance. And this is due to the fact that the hormone estrogen is very protective, and it can protect us from insulin resistance. And if kind of sitting behind the curtain, the veil of the curtain of estrogen, there is already an insulin sensitivity going on that you can't see whilst estrogen is higher levels. When the levels come down, now we start to see the insulin sensitivity or insulin resistance. So intermittent fasting can actually help there because it can, it has been shown to improve the sensitivity of insulin, which is really, really important for women, particularly as they're coming through menopause. The other thing, intermittent fasting is said to actually help with some of the brain challenges, the brain fog, the memory loss. Research has shown that it may be improving brain health by increasing something that we call BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which supports the neurons and keeps everything firing and improves our cognitive function. And the other thing with intermittent fasting is that it brings down inflammation. And one of the very common symptoms of women as they're coming through this time of life is the body aches and pains in the joints and stiffness, which comes from inflammation. Also, bloating comes from inflammation. So intermittent fasting has said that it can actually bring down some of the inflammation that's going on. And obviously that really does depend on the food that you are eating in when you are eating. But if you're doing days that you're not eating anything, that's really going to bring down inflammation because there's no food there to inflame the body. So there's some of the pros for intermittent fasting. Now let's talk about some of the cons, some of the things against it. Sometimes restricting the window of when you eat can actually make it difficult to get all of your essential nutrients. So it's really important to make sure that if you are eating in that smaller window of time, that you are actually consuming nutrient-dense foods to meet all of the body's requirements when it comes to nutrition. Now, for some women, intermittent fasting can actually affect their hormones. Opposite, though, I said it was it's a pro. For some women, can actually be a con because it can actually change those hormones, particularly if you're highly stressed, because it can actually push your stress levels up higher. If you've got issues with your thyroid, it can throw your thyroid out of balance even more. So whilst, yes, for some women, it's really good for balancing hormones, for other women, maybe not so great. Also, and I just mentioned it, it can actually increase stress in the body because, you know, many of us, as we come into this time of life, we've got a lot of life stresses going on. And that's one of the reasons why women are experiencing many of the symptoms they're experiencing because of the stress. Then if you throw restriction on your food on top of that as well, For some women, that can actually be more stressful because they're really concerned about, am I eating the right at the right times? Or I'm hungry, or all of this. So it can actually increase stress when you become very, very focused on food. Then there's the potential, if you're not eating the right amount of protein for what your body requires as well, that you could actually, it could lead to more muscle loss. Now, it's already, women are already losing muscle as they're coming through this time of life. And that's not necessarily specifically a menopause thing. It's actually an age thing that we actually start to lose muscle from about the age 30 onwards. But the shift in the reproductive hormones does actually increase some of that muscle loss. So intermittent fasting can actually also increase the muscle loss even more for some women. And you may kind of pick up, I keep saying for some women, and this is it. It's about the individual. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different body. Everyone has a different experience. Everyone has a different experience of menopause. So intermittent fasting may not be right for everyone. And it's really important to consider what else is going on. You know, do you have other health issues? Do you have thyroid issues? Do you have issues with high stress? Do you have issues with insulin resistance? We need to be considering all of that. We also need to look at your lifestyle. We also need to look at the genetics. Your genes play a really big role in whether or not your body will actually respond well to intermittent fasting. Some women need to be eating every couple of hours. Other women can go longer without food. So, and this is determined by your genetic makeup. So it's really important that we take this into account. Now, I'm going to tell you that I do time-restricted eating in a way, and I do intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating. I eat no more than 3 times a day, and I generally, sometimes I only eat twice a day, and quite often I won't eat dinner, so I can go from, say, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon till about 9 o'clock the next morning, and I haven't eaten anything. But that works well for my body and for my genes. But someone else who has different type of genetic makeup needs to be eating every couple of hours and needs to have an early breakfast and start eating from, you know, 6 a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning and eat every couple of hours until dinner time at around 7 p.m. at night. So if I ate like that, and I used to eat like that, and whereas I came through menopause, that put weight on me. You know, and in the past, I used to think, oh, well, we all have to be eating every couple of hours. We need that metabolism to keep firing. Not necessarily true for everyone. And this is what I learned when I started to learn about precision medicine and personalized health and genetic-based health, is that everyone is different. And this stuff shows up at menopause, where you can get away with it when you're younger because you've got the protection of the hormones. As we lose that protection of the hormones, this is where things start to show up. And for me, I started just putting on weight. And I've never really had an overly big problem with weight my entire life until I got to that, you know, my menopause transition. And then the weight was just going on. And for me, I was eating a keto-style diet, eating every couple of hours, and weight was going on and going on and going on. And I had developed insulin resistance. Nothing I did would lose the weight. I was in lots of pain. I had joint pain. I couldn't move, which limited my exercise. So it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And then I discovered this and learned all about genetics and realized that for me and for my body, what works best is having a later breakfast. And sometimes I don't have breakfast and I do have dinner. So that kind of changes around. I'm not really strict on that. It depends on how I feel at the time. But I don't have any more than 3 meals a day. And my biggest meal for me, my biggest meal is at lunchtime, and it's a pretty big lunch. You know, it's average size breakfast. And if I do have something for dinner, it's generally something small, and it's generally, it might, at the moment it's winter time, so it's generally soup. That's what I have most of the time, or some roast veggies or something like that, but it's not a lot. And that works well for me, but it doesn't work well for everybody. There are some women, as I said before, that need to be eating every couple of hours, and they need to be, you know, having lots of, you know, protein every couple of hours And, you know, they need to have protein at dinner. Whereas me, if I have too much protein at dinner, that triggers an insulin response. So what I'm trying to say is we're all different. And we can't just say intermittent fasting works for every woman as they're coming through menopause. It may work for many, but it may not work for you. It depends on your body type, your genetic profile. So if you want to know a little bit more about genetics, body types, and what works for you, whether or not intermittent fasting works for you, whether or not you need to be eating, you know, small meals five times a day. If you want to know a little bit more about that, I want to invite you to a workshop that I'm running very, very shortly called The Secret to Thriving in Menopause Without HRT. And in this workshop, I'm going to delve deeper into this world of genetics, body types, and taking a personalized approach to your menopause transition. In the workshop, you're going to understand more about the role your genes play. You're also going to get the opportunity to work out what your body type is and what you require, and you'll create your own personalized menopause blueprint. You'll go away with your blueprint on what works for you when it comes to food, when it comes to exercise, when it comes to sleep. We're going to go through that, and you're going to have your own plan that you can implement after the workshop. So this workshop is completely free. And if you are interested and want to join us, it goes for 5 days. So it runs from the 17th of July to the 21st of July. And it's one call a night. So it's 6:30 p.m. Australian Standard Time. Calls go for about 40 minutes, depending on how many questions I have. And, you know, you guys come along, ask all the questions. And this is the information I'm going to share with you. I'm going to be talking to you about the real underlying cause of the majority of the symptoms that you're experiencing, the role your genes play, and how you can determine what your genetic makeup is so that you know exactly the best plan for you. So you probably want to know how you can register. So if you just want to go to bit.ly/menopause_workshop. So bit.ly/menopause_workshop. And that's with a capital M and a capital W. Go there, register today, and you're in. I'll send you more information. We do have a private Facebook group where a lot of the all the lessons are going to be delivered there. You'll be getting guidebooks. You'll be getting lots and lots of information from me. So bit.ly/menopause_workshop. I look forward to sharing the secret to thriving in menopause without HRT workshop with you. And that's it from me this week. If you've got any questions, if you want to know more, I do have a Menopause Conversations Facebook group. Come over and ask your questions over there. Please feel free to share this with other women. If you think there's other women that want to know, you know, if your friend's been talking about intermittent fasting and they want to know if it's right for them or not, share this podcast with them. Show them how, if they don't listen to podcasts, show them how to download the podcast app and have a listen. So the more women that know this, the more women that have got information about menopause and how you can move through menopause without needing HRT, the better. So that's it from me. I'll be back next week with another episode of Menopause Conversations Podcast. Bye for now.